Christ, coming live from the Lamb of Allah on Mount Zion, the City of Peace. Rabboni, Asaid, Asa, Al-Hadi Al-Mahdi. He is the only being who is preparing us, the seed of Abraham. Refer to Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. Nubians of the world for the return of the Messiah. Proverbs 16, verse 32. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. So, whether you are a Christian, Jew, or Mohammedan, have a seat, relax, and grab a pen and some paper, and open your scriptures and listen to the earth-shocking truths taught by Rabboni Asaid Isa Al-Hadi Al-Mahdi as he brings us back to the true way of life, the religion of Abraham. El Quran, chapter 2, verse 130 in part, and as for him who turned away, rejecting the law from the religion of Abraham, he makes a fool of himself. You are now listening to The True Light with Asaid Isa Al-Hadi Al-Mahdi.
In our custom, when Abraham, Ibrahim, at the age of 99, circumcised himself as a covenant with the Most High, he also circumcised his son Ishmael, and he was age 13. So it became a symbol of manhood. And not only can you find this in the Hebraic culture and the Islamic culture, but you'll find it all throughout Africa and other cultures when a boy reaches 13 and becomes a man and he must go through certain rituals. Circumcision being one of them. Certain countries, they wait till the boy is 13 to circumcise.
Right.
They got the 8. Day for Isaac and then 13 for Ishmael, a 13 gift Ishmael for the Jews. When a boy reaches 13 years old, he becomes the head of the house, thus he becomes a bar. And then the word here, mitzvah, which is mim, he, wav, and he, which they say, wav is always a V, like they did with the name Jehovah, as opposed to Yahowah. They added German V as opposed to the written word wow, or wow. We recognize that as mean, correct?
Yes.
Wah, and heh. Okay. That would be in Arabic. Okay? Mitzvah. Now, you won't find it written like this because this is it. You won't find the word bar mitzvah written in your Islamic dictionary because that is the word, bar mitzvah. It's one of those things that just stopped being used when the so-called desert Arabs did not no longer want to identify with Abraham's religion, but wanted to fabricate their own. So they dropped it the way they dropped kosher. They just took and put halal there and took out the word kosher as if it never existed. And after a couple of centuries, it don't exist. Just like, what's up? What's up used to be a very common cliche amongst American Negroes years ago. Now they say something different. So what's up, what's happening, then fades out. It's no longer in our vernacular. You follow that?
No, no, no.
For different reasons. One is somebody trying to hide something, and the other is someone just calls themselves catching up with the time. I've never seen nobody catch time yet. But the word here mitzvah means commandment, or messiah means the commandment. The key point being that when a young boy reaches the age of 13 and one day, he is now responsible to keep the law. You follow that? He no longer can say, talk to my father. When he reaches the age of 13 in one day, he is now eligible to lead prayer, congregational prayer, to give khutbahs, lectures over the congregation on Friday, to be called as a reader on the Sabbath. He's now become a minyan. Do you remember what a minyan was? One of the 10 hosts that witnessed all the events of Israel. Symbolic of course, the 10 selected commandments of Exodus 20. So he becomes a man, all intents and purposes. In certain cultures, like in the Hebrews in Morocco, he has to have an address with a house, or a tent, or a villa that's his. That's all part of the gift that comes with his manhood. As time has passed, children have regressed, because the devil has made them extend their childhood. You follow that? Well, the reason why he made them extend their childhood in America is to fit into his bar mitzvah.
Right.
And they get their bar mitzvah in America when they're 18 years old. They get a sweet 16 party and are coming out at 18.
That's what they gave them.
And the 18 is symbolized by the three sixes. And the three sixes mean that now she can become a harlot. Now she can live like the harlot of the book of Revelation chapter 1. 13. Where you get the mark of the beast. You fall under the covering of the beast, becomes the harlot. Okay? So, as you see, there is bar mitzvah, which means son of the covenant. Ibn Wasiya, son of the covenant. The male child goes into manhood. Another thing he does, because there are three, you see the letter cheating again, Shadid. Another thing he does is he learns how to don and practice the wearing of the tiflin. The word tiflin or tifla means prayer. Don't mix salat up with tiflin. Salat is worship. Dua is oration as done in worship. And tiflin means prayer. So now we have the tiflin. The tiflin is two ka'bas, or ka'batan, if you want to ka'batan. Two ka'bas, two square boxes, as you can see in the 360 book on page 4, where I show you the ka'ba in Mecca and the ka'ba in Jerusalem. One is called Bayt al-Haram, and the other is called Bayt al-Muqaddas. In the writings of the so-called Mohammedans, they speak that on Judgment Day, a filament called the Sirat, this is in their hadith, the little story of the Gospel, will extend from the masjid in Jerusalem to the masjid in Mecca. And the righteous will walk that Sirat. Of course, we know the first building of the one in Jerusalem goes back before the one in Mecca.
Right.
Because where the prophet Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son, and we confirm we're talking about Isaac, not Ishmael,
right,
at a place called Moriah, is where the Dome of the Rock stands. Oftentimes what happens is Muslims who don't know better, especially in the West, think the Dome of the Rock is a masjid. when the Dome of the Rock is not a masjid. The masjid is over to the left of the Dome of the Rock. The Dome of the Rock merely encases a rock with a footprint on it. The footprint is supposed to be the footprint of the Prophet Muhammad as he made his Isra. Alright, so in the culture of Abraham through Ishmael, when he reached the age of 13, and you're going to find that these number 13 is going to run straight through the Bar Mitzvah. Now, open the Quran to the 13th surah. And verses 1 through 13, you're going to find the word Shadeed again. Understand? It's called the thunder. And it goes on, it talks about covenants made with prophets. And then when it gets up to the 13th verse, you have the word Shadeed. Because in the tiflin, as worn on their head, one of the two Ka'bahs, which we're talking about, the one that Solomon built, which looks like a Ka'bah, look inside the book 360 and see a picture of it.
It's in there.
It's a cube.
Right.
And the one that's in Mecca, that Abraham built, Ishmael. Look there, it's there. The one on the head is symbolic of Mecca. Because the word Mithaq in the Quran is a word for covenant. And they have Mithaq Minka, a covenant with you, talking to Muhammad. Now I ask all the Orthodox Sunni Muslims and Muhammadans, what covenant did Muhammad have? Because we know about the covenant of the flesh, and the covenant of the promise, and the new covenant in the Messiah of sacrifice, which he got from the sacrifice of Isaac, because he was up out of Israel. Where is Muhammad's covenant? Don't worry, I can get it posted for that. Where is Muhammad's covenant? What made Muhammad unique? Muhammad's covenant was in the rekindling of Salah through Sujud. You know what Sujud is? Masjid. The place where you prostrate. You see, the Colossians, you notice on the tape, I show you are still prostrated.
That's right.
But you don't see the pale Jew, the Jebusite, in Israel doing it. You see him standing on this?
That's right.
We do a concert. He don't know about the prostration.
No, he don't.
He don't know that in the Quran they have send prayer in the form of salutation upon Muhammad. Because Muhammad is Salatullah. They call him Rasulullah. That merely meant an apostle of Allah. That described his job. But what was his name like Abraham or Khalilullah? And then there's Fafiullah. And then there's Kalimullah. And then there's Rafulullah. What was Muhammad? Salatullah. Because in Muhammad, we got the Salat reestablished with prostration.
Alhamdulillah.
You're right. So thus, the cube-shaped box that goes on the head, you follow? Yeah. It has the straps that tie behind here and form the letter Dalet or Del and hang over the shoulder. It's symbolic of Bayt al-Haram in Mecca. You understand? Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, or you need it sallallahu alayhi wa salam, so you soon need to stop there and put it in. Muhammad, you say on that same night in the 17th chapter of the Quran, went from Bayt al-Haram in Mecca back to Bayt al-Muqaddas in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, and there he ascended up to the heaven and he got his command for worship there. So he made the pass between the two tiflins. You follow that? he was commanded to obey Abraham's religion.
That's right.
He was.
So the talus, or talit, which comes from this word here, the word talit itself means cloak or gown. Come out of the same word we use too. But the word in question is a very common word to us. Which is written in Hebrew.
Watch this now, listen.
And you see this written on the tiplin, which you get for it. And prior to it, this will spell out in books, they'll say shill. Shill means arm. Arabs don't know what the word shawl means. They don't have what they consider an Arabic word shawl. That's why you always see shawl. And you say, oh, that's the same as the English word. No, that's the same as the German word shawl grafted into English that they learned from the Hebrews when they converted. And it means the arm. Why?
What do you mean arm?
Because when Abraham used to dress in what the Arabs are now calling ihram, from the word haram, like in Beit al-Haram, what you wear there, so you know they made that up, and the word azar, yeah? From the word azar, Abraham's father's name in the Quran, which means to wrap around the arm, or to visit the sacred place, Zara.
Same root.
Now you can understand why shawl means arm. Because in Israel, they wore this. And this was called a talus with the tassels on the end. The four tassels of Numbers 22. Sorry, Numbers 15.
Right.
You see it?
Right. No.
The silk piece on the top here, abara, was used to designate where to put it on the head. Because when they put it on originally, they had to put it over their left shoulder first. And they called that in Hebrew, Atipa Yishmael. And they asked the Jews. And it was large. Nowadays they have small ones. This is the old one. And it was habit, they had to adorn the left shoulder first and keep the right shoulder free. Like when Muslims go on Hajj and they wear the ihram, because they're emulating Abraham's journey and Ishmael's journey, and the first stage of Abraham's journey was made by his father, Azar, whose proper name is Terah, which means to settle or stay in a specific place. Okay? Or to turn around in a specific place, like or around one of the tiplins, the Muslim kind. So, the dress of Abraham, called the Ibrahim, the Azar, Ibaya, now Arabs call it, has been grafted down to this, the tiplin, that you see the so-called Ashkenazim Jews over on their head. And the box here, or the Kaaba here, represents Mecca. That's why Muslims remove the box but want you to put the spot where the box was. They want you to burn the mark where the box should be. See? The left shoulder was closed. So now the second part of the Kippurim, or the second Kaaba, the Kaaba at Jerusalem, is lower than the one at Mecca. Yeah. They put it on the inside of the left forearm, nearest to the heart. Then they wrap the leather wrap around the arm seven times. Seven. And then around the hand, yes, three times. Three. And then around these two fingers, three times. Three. Seven.
Three.
Plus three.
Plus three.
Equals 13. But let's not stop there. See? Let's not stop there. We are in class.
Real class.
Raising the quality of our people.
Right.
These are houses on the
road.
Telling you which is which. Now, doesn't that look like a Kaaba?
Yeah.
The way they wrap this one, which goes on the head, it's left so that this knot goes behind the head where the medulla oblongata is, the flow of all the energy to the brain. And they put the letter Dalit in Hebrew. See it? It's wrapped that way. And this word symbolically means the doorway.
Right.
Now, they have on both sides of it the letter Sheen, if you can see it in Hebrew. Sheen. And then the sheen on this side has an extra branch on it, which would give you 3 and 4 equaling 7. Because the next most important, or the most important sacrament in Israel, is the keeping of the Sabbath. So one side has the 3 candles, as presently used, and the other would give you the 7 candles of the menorah, putting the light here. So they adorn this in the morning prayer. You follow? And now, this is the head, this is Mecca. Mecca is up here. In Jerusalem, at the end of it, there's a knot. And the knot makes up the small letter Yad.
Yad.
You got it?
No.
Yad. So what you see, we just asked what you're paying any attention here. Class is in session. Is you had the Sheen, the Del, and the Yad. Or let me write it out for you.
Shadi,
as found in the 13th chapter, the 13th verse of the Quran. Or, as we talked before, in what?
53.
5. We're still in the Quran. That's the one where the angel is teaching him. 53, 5, 5, 3, 5, 13 of the Quran.
Go ahead.
This could be coincidence. But I'm here the same way I was there in Islam to clear up the mess. Now I'm here. And I'm going to clear up the mess. I want y'all to understand how we got it. So you see the yes, and you see the Shadi, or the Almighty, the powerful name. This one is wrapped on the arm with 12 stitches on one and 12 stitches on the other of an animal that has been koshered, the leather and the skin. 12 stitches on one and 12 stitches on the other. 12 stitches for Ishmael and 12 stitches for Israel. But they didn't make a mistake, because they say 13 in one day. You see that? So 12 in one day would be the 12 tribes of Ishmael and that one daughter, Mahalath, and the 12 tribes of Israel and that one daughter, Dinah. 13 in one day. So you wrap this around the arm. This arm is hidden under the cloak of Abraham. The right arm is free. The right arm takes us back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, right? Where we have the talent, where we have the mezuzah. Correct?
Amen.
And in the mezuzah, or on the mezuzah, we have what word?
Yadid.
And you need your right hand free to
touch it.
With his arm held a cloak, but they didn't have seams then. Abraham and them had it sewed together.
We will continue with the true light after these brief messages. Do you honor the Sabbath? Should Muslims observe the Sabbath? Read the New Revised Edition and find out all about the Sabbath and why you should observe it. Learn how to perform the rituals correctly and how to use the Sabbath cloth. Purchase all religious articles for the Sabbath and all other holidays at the Tents of Abraham. Also, soon to be available is your very own Sabbath cloth, made from the white linen and gold stamped in Nubic, the language of the Nubians. Order yours now at the Tents of Abraham, post box number 1260, Monticello, New York, 12701. Now let us return with the true light.
So when you see a Jebusite with his talent or talus and his tippling, do you understand what it means?
Oh yeah.
This is Jerusalem,
right.
And this is Mecca. Muhammad left Mecca, went to Jerusalem and went up. So they teach there's also a Kaaba like the one in Mecca in heaven.
They do.
So this spot here where Dome of the Rock was. And here they built Solomon's Temple, which if you look in the book on 360, on that page you'll see is what? If you look at the 333rd page of 360, you'll see the story of Azar. And we ask the Sunni Muslim, why do y'all call him Azar in the Quran if the Torah says his name is Terah? We just gave you the answer. Another one of the 360 questions and answers is knocked you off your feet. We're standing you back up again. Now walk with us. Stay in place.
Right.
Stop questioning.
Mm-hmm.
You know the story of El Khidr and Nabi Musa.
Right.
Stop questioning. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Young boys in their bar mitzvah who have 2 months to learn about wrapping the tefillin. Will it become a part of our prayer? Yes, it does become a part of our morning prayer, except on high and holy days and the Sabbath, or when you are in congregation where you will be prostrating, because that is the misafa that Muhammad brought, the covenant of completion of the prayer. This day have I completed for you. You follow that?
Uh-huh.
And that was prayer, because everything else was already done. As you go through the Torah, you'll find that who prostrated? Daniel, Abraham, Jesus. How did the children of Israel stop prostrating when the Colossians in Ethiopia are still prostrating to this day? Because those are the children of Israel and those are not.
That's right.
Now, can they convert to our way of life or religion? We welcome anybody. We don't care if the Ashkenazis or the Civil War, Ashkenazis are black. The Khazars became Ashkenazis. Don't make that up. We don't care if they decide to convert, even though we'll try to discourage you 3 times.
Gee.
as he but if you're persistent in wanting to be amongst us, then we have no right to stop you. Because even the devil ascended into heaven with the counsel in the book of Job.
Right.
We will not marry you because he got strict laws on missing.
Right.
He made sure it covered human beings, animals, and the very clothes we wear, so we understand do not miss.
Right.
So, another point. You will never mix linen and cotton because one comes from an animal and one comes from a vegetable. You follow that?
Yeah.
If you mix wool and, let's say, linen, you are violating the same law as mixing meat with dairy or mixing the goat and the sheep.
Right.
Mixing the Canaanite with Abraham's seed. So he covered all three principles, and he made our clothes as a sign to us. He said, right in Numbers 22. He made it as a sign to us. We read it, the whole Numbers 22, you'll see it covers the blue. It covers the knots, the non-mixing. You follow?
No.
Okay.
Right.
So we've covered the tiffin and the talus, which is really the shawl, with the same thing worn in Sudan today, with the same stripes, about to hold this up with the help of someone. And we pick this, break this up, and watch the count. One, two, see the small black one? Three, four, small black, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, Ishmael, Israel. Midian is always included in Ishmael. Four, Joshua. Right? We call them, we refer to them as Jim, Del, and then look how we do it. Today, Yida, L. You know the L, L, Al, Carolina? That's the same name. Yida, L. This is the word for our fringes. The other one is Ahdab. That's the tonsils. That goes all the way back to ancient Israel. So you understand? Oh, I forgot this. Nowadays, you may see this hanging from the cloak of a Hasidic Jew, the little white rope.
Yep.
Well, they go, this actually goes back to this original God. And this came in use when they moved out of Palestine, or Israel, into other people's countries, and started picking up other people's dress codes. They started wearing these under their clothes, under their American clothes. So you see in Hasidic, you'll see them walking with black, and you see these little strings. This is nothing but a worn down version of the original cloak that Abraham wore, and the covenant was made with him, with the tassels and stuff, through the Torah and Moses. Along with the talus or shawl, as we call it, this comes. That's why oftentimes they make them as a set. You follow? So you got three major things, and they all pop up in the book of Deuteronomy. The mezuzah, the tiflin, and the shawl. And they are all for the remembrance of the Most High. That's what they symbolize, why you wear them, as remembrance of the Most High. They were bells. If you were to look in the books of Exodus 28, you'll read that these tassels were like bells. If you look at it, you'll see it. And now you'll see why the masons wear on their beds a tassel like bells. As a remembrance. See, the bell was rung to gather people. It would hit the bell. Boom. In ancient Israel. A gong. So they wore it
as a symbol to remember the commandments and keep them.
All 613 but stepped in front of us was the original 10. Okay? Now, all right. First thing we understand is to find the word Ashkenazi. All you have to do is look in Genesis chapter 10, verse 3. And the word Sephardim is found in the book Obadiah, and it's only one chapter, so the 20th verse. That's Sephardim. Show you that they were both black people, and that the Khazars are nothing but Russians that converted to them, and that the Sephardims are nothing but Spartans that converted to them. Okay? Does anybody see it?
Yeah.
Right up there, we stand. And these are the descendants of who?
Noah.
Huh? These are the Shemites, right? Descendants of Noah.
Right.
You see the two? And if you go to Obadiah, only one chapter, you'll see. All right. Got your pencil and paper? Joshua 24:2. Confirmed the Holy Quran, chapter 647, where Abraham's father was an idol worshiper. Alright? Genesis 11, go to it. Verse 26, gives you his name as Terah. Whereas in the Quran, chapter 6, verse 47, they refer to him as Allah. You understand? As you look at the two and remember what I just taught you, you understand why he was called Terah, which was his name, and why the Quran referred to him as Abab, which is another name for the cloak of the Ihram that Muslims wear on pilgrimage. You understand that?
Right.
All right. You have in the Holy Quran, chapter 3, verse 96, where they use the word Beit Haram. Right? You have Exodus 13:9, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 8, Matthew 23:1, and Deuteronomy 11:18. What makes Matthew 23:1 important is they use the word Piplin there. They use a Greek word though. But they use it to imply that the Pharisees exaggerated the wearing of it, but it's there. So the law follows straight down all the way through the scripture, all the way down to when Jesus and them had been in Rome, and a lot of Romans had converted to their way of life. You with me?
Yeah.
All right. So we have the first stage is the Bar Mitzvah, which is called the son of what? Right. And the 13th letter of the Hebrew alphabet is the letter Mem. Right? If you turn the word 13 and turn it 3, you get a Mem. Yes, you get an M. You follow that? Same thing. All right? Now, we have the three stages. Write it down. One, the mezuzah. Two, the Barit Milah. And three, the Bar Mitzvah. Those are three things. Acknowledgement of the Almighty, the actual circumcision, and then when he comes into manhood. Correct?
Right.
Yeah, I gave you 10 commandments, which is Exodus 23:17. Right? Alright? Now the three stages of the Bar Mitzvah are also three. We said the tillit or the shawl, the tiflin, right, and the fact that the child is being brought into reading and talking. You with that?
Uh-huh.
All right. Ishmael's age 13, Genesis 17:25. Sorry. Now one of the first stages of the Bar Mitzvah is what's called in Hebrew a darashim. All that is kutbah. It's the word darasa, study. You follow? That the young boy is required by our custom on the Friday, the first Friday after he reaches 13 in the day, he has to give the kutbah. And maybe required in impact to lead the prayer for Awesome and Madrid. You understand? That's the first stage. So a young boy is being trained by the imam for 2 months. 1 month, he doesn't learn the recitation, he just learns how to rap the symbol and the symbolism behind it. Then later, he learns what to say when rapping and how to make that prayer. He only uses it in the morning when he is in his personal prayer. He does not use it in a mosque where he is going to prostrate. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Because you are in the cube then, according to their law. Alright? Let me see. So we covered Shaw. I gave y'all Shaw and everything there, correct?
Yeah.
The next stage is called... He becomes crowned for a high priest. He has a right to devote his life to becoming a rabbi or a Kohen. Right? Now, it is preferred to come out of the house of Levi, from Judah, that the priest would come. But if somebody's son here is not as your first son always, and you're not a Levite or a Judah, you can give your son over to the study. Alright, Deuteronomy 22:12 teaches you about the four fringes. Exodus 39:1-7 teaches you about the color blue. Alright? Deuteronomy 22:10 tells you not to mix the animal and the vegetable, or the sheep. You understand that part. You would teach from the scripture, but that scripture you can continue on your own. Go into the Holy Quran 5:95-97. That again is another quote. Right? I explained to you all about the child already. The services run thus. On Friday, the child gives the chutzpah. One, he writes himself. Alright? On Saturday, he puts on a tefillin, which is the Sabbath, alright, for his morning prayer. He learns how to do that within the first two months prior to his coming to the age of 13. A chef comes to his house that Saturday, got the tiffin for him, alright, he does not wear it the whole day. Okay, he goes into the bar mitzvah. Now, what happens at the bar mitzvah is there's a call to prayer sounded. After that, the Proverbs 22:6 is read out loud. Everybody knows that about raising a child in righteousness, and he'll never depart from the faith. Right? Right. The imam leads to the book, afternoon prayer. At the end of the prayer, he recites Kalimat al-Haq, and everybody in the congregation follows him. They're all doing this boy's bar mitzvah. Alright? Now you move into it. The first thing the boy does is he's being brought to the Torah. Or he's being brought, in our case, to the scriptures. And the Torah is one of them. You follow? So, because it's 13, he reads first the 60th chapter of the Quran, verses 1 through 13, which gives him the 13 verses. As you read these, you see it. Then he next reads from the what they call HaTorah, which is HaTorah. HaTorah means all the books of the prophets are now inclusive in the Torah, like Isaiah, Jeremiah, which are not a part of the five books. They call them HaTorah. You got it? So it means instead of just having the Pentateuch or the five books of Moses, alayhi salatu wasalam, you have these books that have inclusive in them. After you get past the books of Deuteronomy, you start going to Jeremiah and Amos and etc., etc., etc. That would be called a Haftorah. He reads a selection from that by someone holding the scroll up, and he's a pointer, and he reads it. This is something he has been practiced and taught by the sheikh, or as they call it, the chanter. In other words, for a muazzin, person who comes and does the chanting. All right? Now, when he's reciting it, there's a certain rhythm that you learn. That rhythm for recitation comes from the prophet Ezra and Nehemiah. These two prophets are the ones that sat around and chanted, all right, a certain rhythm that's remembered in the synagogue to this very day, and they use it. So the kid does these three basic recitations as a symbol of bringing him to the Sheen, which is Shadid, which is bringing him to the law, the Torah. He recites first Holy Quran, chapter 60, verse 1 through 13. The second thing he recites is from the Haftorah, Isaiah 28, verses 1 through 13. Okay? And finally, the third thing he recites is the 103rd chapter of the Quran, which was originally revealed 13. You follow that? That is his recitation publicly. That shows his manner. These are very simple things to do. Okay? Now, his father acts as a aliyah, or as we call it, an ali. Alright? He reads a blessing that says, "Blessed is he who has freed me from the responsibility of," and he says that kid's name for the whole congregation. Then he recites and how he, as a father, was responsible to make sure his son was properly circumcised according to the Lord Abraham in the straight night. So he recites Surah Al-Ala. At the end of Surah Al-Ala, you know it takes you into the books of Abraham, the Sahuf Moses. They give you a doctrine talking about on high. Surah Al-Ala. Alright? After that, the father presents him with what we call the 13 tools of manhood. Alright? Which would be the staff and the scriptures first. Alright, now. Sorry. The boy gets up right before the gift and he reads out loud with everybody's participation the 108th surah of the Quran, Surah Kawthar, which was originally 15. Because 15th surah of the 15th chapter of Genesis speaks about the bondage of the seed. Okay? So the first thing he's given is from Exodus 28:4, and it is his kufi. That's his first tool. The second tool is the talus and the talus clips. If you notice, I had a thing with two clips on to keep it from falling off the shoulders. Talus clip, that's Deuteronomy 22:12. Number three, he gives a discipline and a case. Exodus 13:9. The mind is the key to command. See, that's the one. Number one. Exodus 28:4. That's the crown that we now inherit when it says he makes us King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now you'll see on our symbol a crown sitting above anything. Symbolize that we're back in kingship, rulers of the earth. Number two, the talus, or the shawl, as it's called. Deuteronomy 22:12. And has the talus clips. The third thing he gets is a tiflin and a tiflin case, which is Exodus 13:9. And as a reminder of the commandments that he must enforce, he is now responsible for enforcing the commandments. Alright? The next thing is his kamis, which is a gold sash. Revelation chapter 1 verse 13 and chapter 15 verse 6. That mentions the sash and the dress of priesthood, which also you can find in Exodus 28. Revelation chapter 1, verses 13, and chapter 15, verses 6. That was number 4. Number 5, the staff, or the shoba. The shoba has a split end and a straight line, meaning that he chose the right path out of the two, whether it is Sirat al-Mustaqim or Sirat al-Shaytan. He chose the right path. That's the symbol of the shoulder. He locks it with his thumb. That I have chosen Sabil Allah over Sabil Shaytan. And that is Genesis 49:10. Tool number six. He is signet ring, which is Jeremiah 22:24. A covenant with the law that with Hua on it and the shield of David, called Mogen David. You'll see mentioning him wearing his seal on his hand. Right? This represents the seal of Solomon, the shield of David, and the covenant. The star. Or a sort of measure. To read that Quran and see it. Number seven is it? Yes. His breastplate. He gets his breastplate. These are not inexpensive. That are made in gold with all those stones. So you put it in oil, don't think they're inexpensive. That's solid gold and all of the real stones, they cost. Alright, but this is something that's presented to the child. Unfortunately, we paid for it. Every young man in Bar Mitzvah will have it by the time he grows up anyway, but the community presents it to him. The breastplate of Exodus 28:15, in remembrance of the tribe. 8. This is a custom. He gets his scriptures, which of course would be, when complete, all the trouble, Torah, the Bible, Injil, and Quran. Yes. All the scriptures have an hour tribe. Until that time, we give him what we have. 9. He gets a certificate in the form of a scroll that marks the day that he had his bar mitzvah. If all that sign, that's a step of own personal certificate. 10 is a flat that he hangs on the wall for people to see that he had his bar mitzvah. 11, he gets a mezuzah, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 9. I don't have to tell you what that means, with the scroll in it, for him to put on the door of his first house. Number 12, Kiddush. He gets a Kiddush cup, or a Kiddush cup. He gets his own chalice for breaking it open in the Sabbath and every other ceremony for drinking his unfermented wine. Number 13, he gets his prayer rug and his zikr bead. Those things used for Muhammad's covenant in the covenant of prayer. Finally, that ends all that takes place on the Sabbath. The following day is a hefna, a feast. In most cases and in the future, these feasts will be in your personal house with your personal family. Presently, they're congregational things. But if you come up where you have 5 kids, you get bar mitzvah the same day. The party part, the feast, and the family coming in. The son is usually has to entertain the family as an adult and give a lecture to the presence of the elder men of his family or of his tribe. You follow that?
No.
That ends the hefna. That is how our ceremony goes, and that's the ritual of it. We have that class in session.
Program, write to the Tent of Abraham,